How to Stay Sane by Philippa Perry, read by Zoe Ann Phillips. Introduction. In the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the handbook that most psychiatrists and many psychotherapists use to define the types and shades of insanity, you will find numerous personality disorders described. Despite this huge variety, and despite the proliferation of defined disorders in successive editions, these definitions fall into just two main groups. In one group are the people who have strayed into chaos and whose lives lurch from crisis to crisis. In the other are those who have got themselves into a rut and operate from a limited set of outdated, rigid responses. Some of us manage to belong to both groups at once. So what is the solution to the problem of responding to the world in an over-rigid fashion, or being so affected by it that we exist in a continual state of chaos? I see it as a very broad path, with many forks and diversions, and no single right way. From time to time, we may stray too far to the over-rigid side and feel stuck. Few of us, on the other hand, will get through life without occasionally going too far to the other side and experiencing ourselves as chaotic and out of control. This book is about how to stay on the path between those two extremes, how to remain stable and yet flexible, coherent and yet able to embrace complexity. In other words, this book is about how to stay sane. I cannot pretend that there is a simple set of instructions that can guarantee sanity. Each of us is the product of a distinctive combination of genes and has experienced a unique set of formative relationships. For every one of us who needs to take the risk of being more open, there is another who needs to practice self-containment. For each person who needs to learn to trust more, there is another who needs to experiment with more discernment. What makes me happy might make you miserable. What I find useful, you might find harmful. Specific instructions about how to think, feel, and behave thus offer few answers. So instead, I want to suggest a way of thinking about what goes on in our brains, how they have developed, and continue to develop. I believe that if we can picture how our minds form, we will be better able to reform the way we live. This practice of thinking about the brain has helped me and some of my clients to become more in charge of our lives. There is a chance, therefore, that it may resonate with you too. Plato compares the soul to a chariot being pulled by two horses. The driver is reason. One horse is spirit. The other horse is appetite. The metaphors we have used throughout the ages to think about the mind have more or less followed this model. My approach is just such another version and is influenced by neuroscience in conjunction with other therapeutic approaches. Three brains in one. In recent years, scientists have developed a new theory of the brain. They have begun to understand that it is not composed of one single structure, but of three different structures, which, over time, come to operate together but yet remain distinct. The first of these structures is the brain stem, sometimes referred to as the reptilian brain. It is operational at birth and is responsible for our reflexes and involuntary muscles, such as the heart. At certain moments, it can save our lives. When we absent-mindedly step into the path of a bus, it is our brainstem that makes us jump back onto the pavement before we have had time to realise what is going on. It is the brainstem that makes us blink our eyes when fingers are flicked in front of them. The brainstem will not help you do Sudoku, but at a basic, essential level, it keeps you alive, allows you to function, and keeps you safe from many kinds of danger. The other two structures of the brain are the mammalian, or right brain, and the neomammalian, or left brain. Although they continue to develop throughout our lives, both of these structures do most of their developing in our first 5 years. An individual brain cell does not work on its own. It needs to link with other brain cells in order to function. Our brain develops by linking internal